right, our next speaker is Kevin Bronson, going to be discussing active optical sensing for irrigated durum wheat, separating nitrogen and water effects. Kevin will be using keys, and then there's your arrows.
Thank you, Brian. I really appreciate it. Welcome to Arizona. This has been a really interesting session this morning. Let me drink up. Also, I appreciate two talks ago, Mark Lundy, you might have noticed he had some durum wheat in California, so sets me up pretty good. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Jeffrey White, Matt Conley, Don Huntsaker, Kelly Thorpe, Jerai Munn, and Andrew French was here in the session a little bit earlier. You can see where we're located. I'm with the USDA, Arid Land U.S. Ag Research Center. We were the U.S. Conservation Water Lab and the Western Cotton Growing Lab on Broadway, not too far from here, that was established in 1962. And we moved down to Maricopa 10 years ago. In case you didn't have an opportunity to go on some of our field tours yesterday, I'll give you a little bit of background. We are mostly about surface irrigation here in Arizona. There's canal infrastructure, concrete canals. On our 2,000-acre University of Arizona farm where we're located, there's 25 miles of canal, and 80% of the water is from the Colorado River through the Central Arizona Project, Lake Havasu, goes through Phoenix all the way up to Tucson at 2,500 feet, so it raises about 1,700. Cotton is our main crop in the summer that we do research on, of course, with the price supports. The acreage is way down. Our wheat is durum. About 90% is durum. A lot of it is exported to Italy and other places. And, of course, there's a penalty if you're less than 14% protein on your durum. That top right picture, this is a pointer. Yes. A typical way to irrigate, of course, there is a zero nitrogen plot there. These basins, you may have seen them even on, if you've driven around a little bit, narrow bunds, flood irrigation. Still very common. Look at the water usage down here, 4 to 8 feet. They get a lot of the growers get 4.5 acre feet allocations, pay about $60 an acre foot in the summer, $50 in the winter. The Indian communities don't pay for their water. A couple other pictures. This is a cotton furrow irrigation, and then this is a barley cover actually under overhead sprinkler. Now, how does the fertilizer get put out? This is a linear move that we have. It's one way we fertigate here, cotton. Another way I do cotton. And then, but I'll tell you how we put our fertilizer out. Now, canopy reflectance measurements, this is what the session's about. Been a lot of strong interest since the 90s, Oklahoma State and Nebraska. Dr. Shepherds, others in the audience did a lot of the groundbreaking work. A lot of it was geared towards nitrogen management. There's some work on wheat grain protein. And as we all know, NDVI is a typical index that's calculated. But here in the West, I need to mention that there's no dryland farming in Arizona. It's all irrigated. The production is very high. Cotton averages 3 bales. And with durum wheat's about 7,000 pounds of grain. And so it's very intensive. Of course, our water supply is declining. We got very close to the critical 1,025 feet level in Lake Mead 2 years ago. If that happens, Arizona farmers lose all that water from Colorado. So the water availability, and I hope you saw the keynote address last night by Sandra, it was very good. And so how to do it with less water. The production levels are good. We've got to try to reduce the inputs. So vegetation indexes, there's been some work, but not many, looking at water and nitrogen. And if we can use them together, that would be very advantageous. So our objectives in this study today, look at the effect of N fertilizer rate and irrigation level. We looked at 12 vegetation indices using an active optical sensor, the crop circle 470. We did a stepwise regression to see which comes in first, a nitrogen or in the leaf or in the plant or biomass, and we did some simple correlation with these parameters you can see here. We did this study under a two-span over head linear system, and we swapped it 1 year to the next. We did a systematic unreplicated water levels, 1 to 10, from the middle to the outwards. And then we came across and put out nitrogen in strip plots going this way. You can see a picture here what that looks like. So the water is unreplicated, but with some of the, like the old line source studies done in the 80s, if you do a repeated measures analysis with water, I think it's fairly legit. The soil type is a Cassegrain sandy loam, Ritisol. We used Arita, 150 kgs, early December planting. Irrigation rates, we had 10 of them. We it went 1 to 10. The rate 8 was more like a 100% ET replacement. If you look at the fraction, it went from about 0.4 to almost 1.2 of that. Fertilizer was put out in three splits. Zadix 3239 with a high clearance tractor. I have a picture of that in a second. With Raven controllers, 36 centimeter spacing. It worked pretty well with the 18 centimeter wheat. This is a high clearance tractor, and you can see that there's the Raven controllers and stuff and drops there. Use different orifices. Worked pretty good. There we go, like that. Right before an irrigation, we put past the sprinkler, getting too close, past the sprinkler over it right after that fertilizer application. And so, again, this is just about fixed rates. We didn't really get to prescriptions, but we wanted to look at the response. This is how we calibrate those crop circle 470s with this field cal. Zero, block it off, and spans go to one. We now, in our research programs, are using a white panel. And we don't use this anymore, but the first few years we were using this, and it worked pretty good. Do that right before going out. We do notice it's good to warm up these things for 20, 30 minutes. Okay, this is the vehicle we used for this two-year study. Mountain bikes, square tubing. Jeff White at our center help design and build this. We use the two crop circles in a line, just a regular hemisphere, $1,000 submeter GPS. We also had some other data we collected. We had infrared thermometers. You can barely see them right there. Apogee IRTs. We'll discuss that data today as well, because the IRTs seem to be a real good standard to look at water stress and leaf temperature. More photos. You can see we're on a fairly high water end of the field here, some low and high nitrogen plots for our durum. This is what it looks like in action. Now, if we look at the grain yield response, which was published in Field Crops earlier this year, we got good response in the first year. You can see here, this is ET down here on this x-axis is the irrigation fraction from 0.4 to 1.2. And we got much lower yields, maxed out about 5,000 kg per hectare in 2014 due to a very warm spring. These are all the indices that we were calculating. NDVI red, amber green, chlorophyll index. PRI is just 530 to 590. You can see them here. The NDRE we'll talk a lot about. That's it doesn't use visible at all. It's 800 minus red edge over 800 plus red edge. The so-called modified or simplified CCI, canopy chlorophyll index, is NDRE red. NDRE divided by red NDVI. The DAT and the MITSI. Okay, this is the analysis from SAS PROC Mixed. And you could see nitrogen and water effects, and these are two of the growth stages. Of course, we have the data every week, but I'm just going to show you a couple of the key growth stages, which here is Zadix 32 is, how am I doing, 5 minutes? Two nodes, and 39 is flag leaf emergence. And so you could see no interaction in water and nitrogen, get more interaction at the second growth stage. And here we have partial, I didn't mention it in the methods, partial correlation coefficient, so you can see a strong water correlation there, weaker nitrogen. Down here, this is the IRT data that we take. We typically take the canopy temperature by the apogee IRTs, and we subtract air temperature from that. And you can see that there, it's not seeing nitrogen at all. It is seeing the water. For this, next year, again, we're getting a lot of significance everywhere that you can see. But the beauty of the partial correlations, so these are kind of standardized. You can look across the indices and see, for instance, that you're getting 0.9 on water here and 0.6 on the nitrogen. Down here, 3CI is showing nitrogen effect without any water, and the DAT is showing, the DAT and the mid-sea are showing good nitrogen effects and about similar to the water. Now, these graphs are very useful. Here we have growth stage 32 and 39, where we have end rate by water. You can see the NDVI responds pretty much to nitrogen and water uniformly. The PRI and these other indices, here at the DAT, for instance, except at the very highest nitrogen rates, you start to get the water response, but that's actually beyond the optimum that we got in the study. The optimum was in here. And so here we see very exciting that it's responding to DAT to nitrogen, but not as much to water until you get up there. There is a good study by Luciano Shirasuchi and John Shanahan, Richard Ferguson, where they saw that the DAT and the mid-sea did good with corn, looking at seeing nitrogen and not seeing water as much. This is some partial correlation, which we're trying to look at plant N and biomass. You can see here, for instance, NDVI red, the biomass came in first, but plant N came in a lot before that. Now, if we look at simple correlation, and these will be my last data slides, you can see that at the two growth stages, NDVI does very well, and NDVI particularly does well matching with grain yield, as the Oklahoma work shows. But the indices that were more sensitive to nitrogen and less to water, curiously enough, they are not showing as much of a correlation with the grain yield. Yellow berry, by the way, if you're familiar with that, is related to nitrogen when the grain really gets yellow. So in summary, the NDVIs were consistently strong indicators of both nitrogen and water. They didn't differentiate that much, and grain yield. These are the indices, the 3CI and the DAT and the MITSI, the ones that employ the red edge, that were the most effective in distinguishing end rates with minimal effects of water, except at the very highest end rates. But it should be pointed out that none of the vegetation indices did as well as the canopy temperature IRTs in terms of showing a water effect and not having a nitrogen, in most cases not having a nitrogen effect. So, if we have time for questions.
One question.